Okay, let's start pairing thine again. You saw yourselves that you have to go over the things that prevent us getting in touch with Yichud Hashem and the things that get in the way of us being Boichen by Hashem. Those apply here as well. Let's see the ones that are specific, the manim, the things that get in our way, which prevent us from having betochen. And there are many, and one has to find his own as well. These are just klalim. In these klalim, you have to find your own dugmot. So, in the second paragraph, once you've gone and you've learned shara yichud, and you've learned shara b'china, then you can start on the second paragraph. V'dover noisef ma'amid me'adem esa betochen v'hu. Choysa hayedir shkoya. Choysa hayedir v'yicholes habilti mugbeles shel aboyren. We are lacking knowledge, we're lacking a deep understanding of Hashem's infinite abilities in the way he conducts himself with us and in terms of his infinite goodness. We don't grasp, we don't know, we don't understand Hashem's unlimited powers and goodness. A person doesn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has infinite mercy on his creatures, and that he looks after them and takes care of them and rules over them, everything. You're bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with strong ropes, and you're not able to do anything without his permission or connected his rotson. We'll see now. There's a miracle lurking in there. Think about it for a while we finish the sentence. You can't do anything against his rotson. That's one of the miracles of the world, that you actually can. We'll see. Adam Shane Maven calls there. Person doesn't get all of this. You won't have any tranquility from your worries. And he will not rely on Hashem's conduct the way Hashem runs the world. He won't. It's an easy test. Write a list of all the things you would change in the world if you could. Quite a long list. Quite a long list. It's quite a, if I would have to change all the things you're davening for, number one. The things you want to change in the world. Every davening is an argument with Hashem, right? Made somebody sick, and you're saying, no, I want him to be well. Every tefillah is a machlekes, is an argument with Hashem, for sure. That's how Hashem built the world. Now, one second. I don't want to tell us why we daven. That's another sugar. Why you make your sons, why you daven, why you breathe. Those are old, long discussions.
We think it's
the best thing,
depending
on
our Yours or
but it is involved. There is. The Rambam says that kol hoylech lefi roiv amaisa. It's also true. And there's a lot of facets to this diamond. Okay, slowly. One of the things that will get in the way of your betochen is you don't really get the first of the animamins. That's true. That's really well done. What's the first animamins? The animamins, the first of the 13 principles of faith. Which, by the way, contains all the other 12. It's always like that in Torah. An imamin be'emunah shleimah shaboyis baruch shmoy hu boire u'manig l'kol ha'bruim. He creates yesh mi'ayin, and his manig, he conducts and controls everything. Hu levado, he alone, oisev v'yaseh kol ha'masim. Did, does, and will do everything. That's an imamin. That's you understand. When you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what does a chad mean there? There's one, and there's not two. No, it means infinite. There's nothing else except him. So there's nothing happening in the world except him. Ah, Hashem, for whatever reason, decided that he needs to have a world where there's this fragmentation, and where he's hidden, and you can't really see him so clearly, so that you and I can exist in order to have bechira, in order to be able to earn olam haba, for whatever. Let's not go into that. We've discussed it many times. So therefore, you have a world which hides that reality. It hides that infinite oneness. Our job is to go find it. Shara Bechina teaches you how to find that infinite oneness. It's fascinating when you start learning that subject. Wow, it's fascinating. But the other nukud I want to make at you is one of the miracles of the Bria Bechira. We don't really take Bechira that seriously. But the miracle of Bechira is you can do something against the Rotzen of Hashem and continue to exist, which scientifically, mathematically, you shouldn't be able to. Because if Hashem created the world, Geshmi Ayin, that means nothing in the world exists except the Rotzen Hashem. You can't have something in the Bria that's not the Rotzen Hashem because He created it, Geshmi Ayin. Correct? It means everything exists through the Rotzen of Hashem. If you do something against the Rotzen of Hashem, that means there's something in the world that's not the Rotzen Hashem. It can't exist. So Hashem gave us Bechira, which is a miracle. But Bechira says you can go against the Rotzen Hashem and continue to exist. That we cannot grasp it. It's beyond our comprehension. Anyway, try and understand that. Whenever you do something connected to the Rotzen Hashem, you should cease to exist. I don't know what Hashem does. Again, I can't even say what you just said because I can't understand enough to say change anything. I don't know what He did. About yesh mashu bepriya that we don't understand. It's an impossibility. There are a lot of those things in the Bria. But most of the Bria is an impossibility. So I'm saying that there lurks the... You can't do anything against the Rotzen Hashem except in your Bechira. No, your Bechira is your Bechira, my friend. You're responsible for your Bechira. Your Bechira is not the Rotzen Hashem. When you make the wrong decision, that's against the Rotzen Hashem. The Rotzen Hashem is that you put on tefillin today. You use your Bechira not to put on tefillin today. That's connected to the Rotzen Hashem. No, that's also the Rotzen Hashem. That's Kvira. To say that the Rotzen Hashem is you should do Averis? There's a shit out there like that, I know. It's just a misunderstanding or an arena that people read long. But there are books, I've seen books like that on people's shelves that have that up in courses. Even your Averis are the Rotzen Hashem. There are some people that say you have to burn it, and you're allowed to burn it on Shabbos as well. I've heard that. Wow. The square Rebbe holds you can burn it on Shabbos. No, does off. Okay, now that you've taken me off the subject, Lagamri, let's get back to the subject. Okay. I'm just pointing out important yesodos of Yiddishkeit that you need to know. That's one thing that it prevents us. In other words, let's get practical here. Let's make this halacha l'maaseh. When we're asking Hashem for something, yeah? You're asking Hashem for something. So why limit Him to just what you want? Yeah, because Hashem's limited. I mean, God asking for $100 million. I need $10,000. You're asking for $10,000. Why don't you ask Him for $100 million? Why only 100 million? Why only 100 million? 100 million is nothing. Upgrade your perception of Hashem's reality. That's what you're being asked to do here. Is that what He says? The reason why you don't have betochen, what's getting in your way of betochen, is chayse hayadir b'chayne sabil to begbelas for rabbi remadagos amidayse betoyvish. She'ein adam mevin shabayda marachem al brio v'shushay mashgiach b'gole. We don't understand that Hashem's rachamim is infinite, and then He's taking care of everything. So what do I have to be worried about? He's fully merciful, fully rachamim, infinite. Nothing to do with my behavior, nothing to do with anything. His love for me is unconditional, infinite, unconditional love. And He can do anything. So why am I limiting Hashem and myself to my limited perspective of reality when I have in my corner Hashem? So why are you limiting yourself? Somebody just sent me a message, whatever, a certain project, whatever. He wants to go fundraising, speaking to Israel. He wants to raise $100 million for this project. My first thought was, why only $100 million? If you can raise $100 million, you can raise $500 million. Nah, that I can't do. So then you can't raise $10. If you can't raise $500 million, you can't raise $10. Because you can't raise $10, you're out. You can't even lift your hand. But why limit a ship to $100 million? This project's a wonderful project, whatever it is. Why limit yourself to $100 million?
Maybe that's all you need.
I mean, all you need. If you had $500 million, you could do much more. That's all you need. What are you talking about? Until every Jew is keeping Shabbos and every Jew is chayzer b'tshuva. I mean, that's all you need. $100 million. I can't make care of the whole of Klal Yisrael, $100 million. I need a lot more than that. So why limit yourself? Because we don't upgrade our perspective on who we're dealing with here. He's allowed to say no, by the way. I'm not discussing. When your kid comes to you and wants the 27th chocolate chip cookie at 11 o'clock at night before he goes to bed, are you outraged by his request? Yes. Why? Why shouldn't a kid want another chocolate chip cookie? The answer has to be no. That we're not discussing that. But why don't you like the question? I think that's a really good request. I think he's being very age appropriate and he's behaving very normally by wanting another chocolate chip cookie. Why shouldn't he want another one? We get upset with him because how do you have the chutzpah to even ask? You've had 27 already. I know 27 plus 1 is 28. Can I have 28, please? Of course. Why shouldn't he want another chocolate chip cookie? Why are you afraid for the question? You ask Hashem for $50 trillion because you want to do a project for Hashem. He may have to say no, whatever reasons, yeah? But he's not going to get upset with you because you asked. That's what he's talking about. Now, again, in our world, we're not trying to raise $100 million or whatever, but find in your world where you can upgrade a little bit. You can upgrade a little bit what your relationship with Hashem looks like. That's all. Just upgrade. Start getting an understanding how big Hashem is, how much he loves us. Then you're a lousy parent. Then you shouldn't have said no in the first place. No, then you shouldn't have said no in the first place. You don't say no until you know you're ready to handle whatever the tantrum comes after the no is. Otherwise, say yes. But say no, 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 and then the kid kvetches and kvetches and eventually say yes. You've just trained the kid that he can always get what he wants if he just kvetches enough. And then they never grow out of that. Then you have adults kvetching. And that's what it looks like. They become kvetching adults. The way they know how you get what you want by sulking, tantruming, you see them. Don't say no unless you know you're ready for the long run. Anyway, that wasn't the point. The point is understanding that the question is a good question. Why can't I have another chocolate cookie? He's right. I'm sure you should want to. So that's one of the things that prevents us from having menuchas aneches me'ataygas. I'll tell the story again. It's not a story. We'll learn the Tanakh again because it's much relevant here. Menashe was a rosha she'en kamo. Menashe was the rosha. And come on, even after he did tshuva, this whole discussion, did he have a chaylo kunabai? Didn't have chaylo, he was mamash bad. He was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the grandson of Yishaya Novi. He killed Yishaya HaNovi, his own Zayda. Okay, so we're not talking about your regular yeshiva bocher. We're talking about somebody who was, he took every molecule of Chizkiyahu's avoida and destroyed it, okay? He got the entire nation to be oida vodazora. He was mamash arosha. Eventually, he gets captured by the king of Babel. And they're boiling him in a pot. That's the way they treated visitors in those days, yeah? They invited you for dinner. You're the dinner. But I don't know what they were going to do with him. They weren't cannibals, the Bavlim. I don't know, maybe they were. It's wastage. But they were boiling him in a pot, yeah? And he starts calling out to all his Avodah Zoras. He's got master of the art of worshipping Avodah Zoras. He was the master of this art. Seriously, he was no fool, Menashe. Menashe was a Talmud Chacham. And he starts calling out to this Avodah Zoras. Eventually, he's gone through the whole list. It's getting hot. So he calls out to Hashem, listen to this Taina. Hashem, I have a Masoira from my fathers that even though the sword is on your throat, I feel a cheref. It's on your neck already. It's already starting to, it's cutting the hairs already. You don't give up, you daven to Hashem. Now, if you answer me, then you really Hashem. And if you don't, you're no different from all the Avodah Zarah. That's quite a chutzpah to time. You worship the Avodah Zarah your whole life. Every ounce of your being and your life was dedicated to being over Hashem and rebelling against Hashem. Now you're in trouble. So you call out to Hashem and tell him, listen, if you help me, then you're Hashem. If not, then you're just as bad as all the Avodah Zarah. So the Malachim were rightfully outraged by that Taina, and they start closing all the Shara Shema and the Tefillah Konga up. And some of the Malachim have a way of preventing your Tefillah going through the seven heavens until it comes to the Kisa HaKavod. No? And the Tefillah Konga gets through. What does Hashem do? He digs a tunnel. Hamas didn't invent tunnels. Hashem digs a tunnel through like the back door and brings the tefillah up to the Kisei HaKavod. Said, you're right. A big wind blows Menashe back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the story. Also, Pinkus, the following question. Menashe wasn't a fool. He wasn't an arrogant, bombastic idiot who just gets up and says, oh, you're not. He had a logical taina. What was his logical taina? Listen carefully. You have to absorb this. This is life altering. He was saying like this: if you answer me, sorry, if you don't answer me, why aren't you answering me? Because I'm such a Rosha. I'm the paradigm of what a Rosha is. You're not answering me because I'm a Rosha. It means your mercy and your love is not infinite. It's not unconditional. Correct? Then you like all that about Azorus, who are also finite. You might be very, very big, but you're still finite. If you answer me, that's a raya that your love and your mercy and your rachamim is infinite, and it's not bound by my rishus. Hashem says, one second, Hashem says, you're 100% correct. Habotayach b'Hashem chesed yisrevenu afilu rosh ha'gomu. Because Hashem's, that's what he's saying here. Hashem's abilities, first of all, that's for sure. On the big things and the small things. But second of all, yeah, but me, I'm such a rosha. Makes no difference. His love and rachamim and mercy is unbound by your riches. You can't twist these on. He could have. Because why? Because that would have been the best thing for him. Because Hashem doesn't care about himself. Hashem has no interest in this himself. Hashem is doing what's best for Menashe, and his rachamim for Menashe is infinite. And therefore, he's going to do for Menashe what is infinitely good for Menashe from his reservoir of infinite love and mercy. Infinite means it's unlimited. I don't care how big it is. It can be trillions and trillions of light years away, but it's limited, so then it's not unconditional. Limited. Menashe understood this, Yesod, and Hashem agreed with him. Malachim didn't get it. The Malachim couldn't understand it. Why is the logic so? Because that would have what was been best for Menashe if it said no. Because else, who was it good for? If Hashem said no, why did he say no? It cannot be applied. It cannot not be applied. When your rachamim is infinite, everything you do comes out of that rachamim. Has to be, otherwise it's not infinite.
See the world, so it's infinite. You see the world as limitations. There are only so many trees made in place that died. There are only so many this.
That's the world Hashem created. We're talking about Hashem in his essence, in his Rachamim essence. But you're making a mistake. You're looking at Hashem in the finite world, but Hashem doesn't exist in the finite world. Hashem is infinite, and his Rachamim is infinite. You're not listening. Shush, I've heard what you've said, but get what I'm trying to explain to you. When Hashem creates a world with only so many trees, that's because the physical world is finite and limited. Yeah, that doesn't limit Hashem in any way. Hashem's rachamim and Hashem's mercy is not limited by the finite world. Hashem's much, much bigger than this finite world. When I'm touching Hashem in the shoresh of his rachamim, that rachamim has to be infinite. He might decide to say no. When you say no to the child's 27th chocolate cookie, that's because you don't have enough rachamim on the child? No, that's because you have rachamim on the child. You don't want the child to be diabetic, so you say no. And you prepare to go through a sleepless night or tantrum to say no. That doesn't limit my rachamim. That's an expression of my rachamim.
The only application of the rachamim is in this finite world. Hashem doesn't need rachamim outside of the finite world.
But Hashem has rachamim. That's what we call rachamim. You're right. In Hashem's world, it's not called rachamim. But Hashem gave us a world. We have to use words in order to get a handle on Hashem. It's one of Hashem's names, is rachamim. That's from our perspective. You're right. But Hashem's rachamim is infinite. It's not limited by the finite world. Therefore, you will only do what's best for me.
Why is that not clear of him?
I can't do anything else. Hashem cannot do anything else, because if he does anything else, it's not what's best for me, then it's best for who? It's best for him. Then that can't be.
That's for the next guy.
Then it's crying out of his total rachamim. Because the total picture of Hashem's world, of Klal Yisrael, that's what Klal Yisrael reads right now. That's Klal or Prat. We're not talking about the Klal, we're talking about the Prat.
Menashe's going to change
everything. Change what?
If you wouldn't have done.
Another question. That's a question about davening. No, Hashem built a world that if you don't ask for it, you're not getting it. That's got nothing to do with it. That's another question. Why does Hashem make the world? You have to daven. Again, I don't know. That's not what I'm trying to get out of the subject. What I'm trying to extract from here is, okay, don't limit, as what the Rebbe was telling you, don't limit Hashem's rachamim and Hashem's abilities. That's all. Because if you do, you're going to have a hard time having betochen. That's what we need to take from this. What you need to take from the story of Menashe, go learn it, understand it. I know they'd be droshim from Yatil tomorrow on that. But that's not my subject now. We're not learning. We've got a Tanakh class. I'm trying to understand from Menashe, you see that it doesn't matter how much of a Rosh you are, you see the expression of Shem's infinite rachamim. And because you don't buy into the infinite rachamim, you're limiting your betochen and you won't be free of tigers. That's what he's saying. What he's saying? What's stopping you from having betochen? That's it. You're limiting Hashem. There's nothing too big for Hashem, and there's nothing too small for Hashem. 100%. That's the principle. You're relying on something. Where you limit Hashem, so then something else has to fill the void. And that's what you're left with. Nachon? Nachon? Country three. I'm impressed. Nobody said, but you have to make your study this way. I'm so impressed. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
You have to make.
Ma'abed bitchoine v'ashem v'hu. This is a hard one. If you thought the one before was hard, this is really tough. Chosa hayadir b'mitzus aboyeris barachu b'torosoy. We're lacking in an understanding and a knowledge of Hashem's mitzvahs and Torah. In what area? In the area where we are warned to rely on Hashem and have betochen on Him. Betochen is not just a nice thing you do when you cry to anything else. And yeah, okay, so betochen is also a reasonable studies. Try everything else. It doesn't work, so we'll try Hashem. You have a chiyuv to have betochen. Kamosha Kosuv. The Navi says, Havio is kol ha-maisa el beisa oitza. Bring all your maisa to the base of Oitza, the base of Migdash. The tariff bebeisi ubechanuni. No bezois omar Hashem tzavakois im lo eftach lechem es arubois hashemayim varchikoisai lechem brocha ad bli dai. Benemoid bitchu b'Hashem ad day ad. The malach that deals with betochen is called Ad. It's the whole thing to do with Chanukah. We'll talk about that. 74. Mazel Kishu 74. We'll see. Okay. The malach. Bitchu b'Hashem ad day ad. Ad ad. Ad meaning the face and the spirit. Whatever. We'll discuss it sometime. 74. Yeah, that's a very important number. Oidius means odd, more. It's always more. Betochen. These rules over betochen. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know why I even said something. Stirs down tired. Okay. So what have we just said? Hashem says, bring all your maaseh to the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? And then I'll open for you. Well, I'll flood down stuff on you. Brocha bleed ad bleed die. You bring me 10% of your goodies to the base of Mikdash, or and I'll have Ubuchanoni. No, Bezois, Omar Shem Zachi, in Lo Eftach. I won't open for you the heavens and the Shemaim and the Stoils or whatever. I'll shower you with Brocha ad bleed die. Why? Because you had the tofen on me. Again, the riots at the. Why don't you just bring the second one? Bitru Bashem Adad. They're clear. You have to have betochen. What's the whole story of the Maisa Beseder? That's not our subject. Okay. Well, so that's another problem we have. We don't recognize that this story called Betochen is actually a mitzvah and it's a chiyuv. And you have to go. That's what we're doing, Baruch Hashem. We're learning it and we're working on it. And we're trying to become more and more proficient in the art of Betochen, not because it's kef. It is as well. It's the kefest thing in the world. Well, it's because you have a chiyuv. It's a mitzvah. So that's why we don't have Betochen, because you don't realize that it's a mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. Oh, here comes the whole story. There's a big sugilus. Shuhurayosom ba'enav, hamoitzim es hamoires lepoil. We tend to focus on the thing that finishes the story, that brings the thing into actuality. And that's who we kind of hang our yearnings and desires and our hope on the last thing that brings what I want into reality. Without paying attention, this is a Moedika subject. All the things that are closer to the end of the action, I'll give you an example now. The closer you get to the finish of the process, the goyrim, the cause, is getting less and less choshuv and less fundamental. The further away from the maisa, yeah, the thing is, it's much stronger. I'll give you an example. The king decides he wants to arrest somebody, right? So he calls in the minister of police and he says, I want this guy arrested. Minister of police calls in the chief of police and tells him, I want this guy arrested. He gets hold of the commander of that province. Yeah, he tells him, we have to have this guy arrested. He gets hold of the guy in the town, the head of the police station in that town. He tells him, I want this guy arrested. He gets hold of the head of the police station that that guy's neighborhood is in, and he tells him, go arrest this guy, yeah? He gets one of his little policemen there, one of the 50 shekel an hour cops, whatever, and he sends him down to arrest the guy. The guy's doing the arrest, the actual final pa'ula. He's the most important guy in the story or the least most important guy in the story. He's got no power to do anything. He was told to go arrest him. He arrests him. Who's the most important part in the story? The guy was the furthest away from the maisa. That's the king. The king's the most important person in the story. He can decide, okay, don't arrest him, kill him, don't kill him, do what you want with him. That's a marshal for what the Chayim Salavov is talking about here. He's going to give the marshal himself. I want to stop now and we'll do this again on Sunday. But there are a few other marshals as well. How do you get water out of a well?
The bucket.
Yes, so the least most important thing in getting the thing out the bucket is the bucket.
Right.
You need the decision to do it. You need the guy to get the cow to walk around the wheel, to turn the wheel, to turn the string. Mm-hmm. The bucket that brings it up at the end, it's the closest thing, but it's an easy one. Let's leave it at 10. It's fine.
Right.
No, last week I managed. I saw, and I was a bit worried. I think that's my